I think it's ripware. It's got a little water to it.
Keep that cap.
My Christmas present. New way to carry all my junk.
How's that working?
I gotta learn.
You couldn't read my handwriting?
No, I'm good. Now that I saw it,
it was legible.
We'll begin our meeting with a call to order. I would ask, are there any citizen comments? Go ahead, Howard. Thanks a lot.
Howard, if you'd like to speak
in the center there with the chair,
you
can either stand or sit, whatever you feel comfortable.
Name and address.
People usually say sit down and shut up.
We'll not say that.
Not yet.
My job today. I have to get to Indian Trail where they have a good play on two kids that Liz Snyder talked about in the paper this morning. Purpose of my just sitting in here, and I have been asked, or we're on the community board watch, whatever that is. But I'm interested in the operation of the Kenosha City. Been here quite a while. And the item that we were talking about was having an office here for the representative of the state of Wisconsin. And not that there's anything evil or anything necessarily tremendously bad, except I think the image is then that that person, whoever it is, would be viewed as part of the county by casual observers. And I don't think that's in the best interest of the county, for one thing, because then you have enough trouble fighting off political accusations and certainties or uncertainties and this, that, and the other thing, especially in these days. And I don't think that would help the image of the county. Not that it would be necessarily negative, but it would give kind of a skew toward one or the other, whether the party represented is Republican or Democrat. And, I don't think that these days in particular, because there's so much office space available to representatives in the political realm, that the county would be better off if they suggested another location for that representative. The more I think about it, and the more hoopla that goes on about politics these days, I don't think it's in our best interest as a citizen or you as county representatives who work very hard in every respect. They have that added image, whether you wanted it or not. So that did I make that clear? So I'm suggesting that be thought about again, and in the best interest, I think, of the county as a long-time resident. I would not like to read that kind of hoopla in the paper, because you have more serious things to be addressing as time goes on. So that's what I wanted to say, Terry.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay.
Any other citizen comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item. I have no reports to any committee members.
I
Hi, Dave.
Mr. Chairman, on the last county board meeting, we had a resolution that was information only and then would get referred to committee. And I will see, I'm not sure if it got referred to this committee or, I think it did, that relates to the Register of Deeds revenues and the transfer fee. And my history here when I was the finance director was that, you know, as the transfer fee revenues increase, the state imposed rules where they received the majority of that revenue. And a lot of the counties are sending requests to the state to increase that to 50%. So that's the resolution that we'll be looking at in a future docket. Okay. So I just wanted to mention that so committee members could think about that. It would be it would give us extra revenue of $500,000 to $1 million, roughly, depending on what how the real estate sales were in any particular time. So. And that I yield.
Thank you. Any other committee members?
I thought, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I thought we had referred the Pike River project to this meeting. Was it no later than March?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Why don't we just make it a point? We'll put it on the next agenda.
Okay.
Yeah. And do we want to? Do we have something here to consider, just agenda-wise? Is there something we could, on this Register of Deeds, or
it's a resolution that you've been seeing copies of from other counties, so ours would be similar to that form, where it's a simple, we're requesting to go from 20 to 50% on the transfer fee.
We do not have that. It was not referred to finance, it was referred to legislative.
Okay.
Since it had to do with the change in state.
Okay, fair enough. Anyone else? All right, seeing nothing else, we'll move on. The minutes before you of November 10 and December 19.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the minutes.
Second.
Are there any additions, corrections, or discussion? All right, we'll vote. Seeing none, we'll vote on both together. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. And the next item is the Cahaba third quarter report. Brock.
Good afternoon. Brock Portelli from the Kenosha Area Business Alliance here to report on the third quarter loan activity in the revolving loan funds. Looking through what kind of, maybe I'll just take a step back. I think I've had a chance to meet everyone here on the committee. I think last time I was here, I did a little higher level kind of scoop on Cahaba and our activities and kind of key priorities, but if someone wasn't here for that, my contact information is on the cover page of this report. Please feel free to reach out anytime with questions. Diving into the report, the first loan fund is the what we kind of refer to now as the Legacy Economic Development RLF. This is a program that Cahaba has administered since I think the early 90s. You'll see there's one new loan in Q3 for $200,000. That was specific to the Balkan USA project. We've talked about that in the past, but just as a refresher, Balkan Plastics is a specialty plastics manufacturer, bags, packages, pouches, shrink wrap. They established their first U.S. manufacturing plant and U.S. headquarters in the old Mondi Akersol building in Lakeview Corporate Park. This project represents about a $55 million capital investment in Kenosha County and will add 80 jobs in the community. That was the only new loan activity in that fund. The next page will give you a summary of the active or current loans in that fund. Going down to the next loan program, which is the EDA CARES program. Just kind of a quick refresher here. In late 2020, Cahaba was awarded a grant of up to $3.61 million to be used toward eligible projects. Kind of the catch there was it really wasn't a grant until we found eligible projects to be put into use. So you'll see a lot of new loan activity in this fund. in the third quarter of 2023. I'd say the kind of the highlight or keynote here is that this program has now ended. The grant award period ended August 31st of 2022. And the highlight is, you'll see on the next page, we had a 100% utilization in this program. So we took advantage of every penny that we could in that program, and we lent out the total of $3.61 million to those companies. You'll see that in the far left balance, or far left column, excuse me. In Q3, the new loans were, again, Belkin USA, which I just talked about, Nexus Pharmaceuticals, which I think everybody's probably aware of at this point, but they established a generic pharmaceutical drug manufacturer, brand new facility out in the Prairie Corporate Highlands Park. That was about an $85 million capital investment, and is anticipated to bring upwards of 70 jobs to the community. The other new loan in this program was the Five Star Fabricating. I think we've talked about that company again, but located out in Twin Lakes, quickly becoming one of Western Kenosha's largest employees. They now have upwards of 170 total in the headcount. This specific project for Five Star was about a $750,000 equipment expansion project that added 15 new full-time equivalents to the company. In the next loan program is the County Revolving Loan Fund. No new loan activity there, just your standard collection of regular principal and interest payments. And then finally, the high impact loan report, you'll see disbursements of $150,000 in Q3. That was $100,000 to the Belkin USA project, and then the final disbursement of $50,000 to Nexus Pharmaceuticals. So that's kind of a summary of the report. You'll note that there are no loans in default at this time. That still holds true today. Obviously, if we did have any type of payment or collection issues, those would be noted on these reports. Outside of that report, just kind of other major items to point out to this committee. Work on the Uptown Lofts project continues to go forward. That financing package from Gorman was closed in December of 2022. If you've been by there lately, you've seen walls are going up. That project's moving forward. That's a mixed use development. Ultimately, we'll end up with $20,000 of commercial, 20,000 square feet of commercial space, and 71 new affordable units of housing. Another major project that Cobb has been working on is the Lakeview Tech Academy building, the relocation over to the former Chrysler site. Work is ongoing and continues to move forward there. There's a few documents that are continue to move forward with leases with various tenants in the city, and so on and so forth. We should have kind of more information there by the end of February. In the next, let's say, the next 60 to 90 days, will are some key deadlines for that project to either go or no go. Other items, there's the pipeline, I would say, remains strong for CABA. There's a number of active RFPs or site searches that are going on, so we're not seeing slowdown there in activity. We continue to work with a couple of prospects for the Salem Business Park, where we still have some active sites. That's a key priority for us going forward. There are certainly some challenges that we're facing. I don't think they're unique necessarily to Kenosha County. Rising interest rates, construction costs are through the roof. Labor force is a challenge. Those are some things that make again, not unique challenges to Kenosha County. Those are nationwide challenges, but things that we've got to work hard on to overcome. The interesting thing, despite those challenges, I would say, just kind of a general trend to share is, as we've seen over the past, maybe 5 years or so, kind of the the time frame of these projects is extended out. You know, there was a time when they were kind of like 3 to 6 months, and then all of a sudden it would take a company a year to 2 years to make a decision. We're starting to see that time frame shrink back down, where a lot of times we'll have that decision again, and companies kind of, time is money, so these companies are making decisions pretty quickly on site searches. So just a trend there that I thought I'd point out. Lastly, as a, you know, I'm sure everyone knows, just to kind of give an update on the kind of the transitional period at CAVA. Todd Battle and Heather Wessling have left the organization here at the beginning of the year. So I would just say, like, the kind of the process that the board has put together, or that they're following, a search committee has been formed. That search committee has engaged with a nationwide consulting firm to conduct a nationwide search. And how it'll kind of go is that consulting firm will do the initial search, screening, interviews, kind of filter that down, bring it back to the search committee. Search committee may filter that down even a little bit more. And then at that point, I know that the search committee is planning to engage our key stakeholders, community stakeholders, including Kenosha County. So Kenosha County will have an active role in the hiring of the replacement. And then ultimately that would be presented to the board for a recommendation. Time frame, I think everyone's aware of the labor force challenges, so I'm a little hesitant to put an exact time on that. Some of the information that we've got from the search firm is sometimes this can, take 3-4 months. Sometimes it can go 12 months. But I think we've got really strong board leadership who are dedicated to finding the right candidate, strong leader. And I would say, just CAVA is a very attractive opportunity for a strong candidate, right? Like, we've got good reputation, we've had pretty strong track record here, especially recently. So I think it's a great opportunity, and I think pretty high level of confidence that we'll find a strong replacement to come in and be the next leader. So with that, I'll maybe pause and answer any questions.
Questions, discussion, Bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So going forward, first, second quarter, anything you can talk about in terms of new manufacturing, new service entities coming into Kenosha County that are going to be prospering, hopefully, through CAVA's intervention?
Yeah. Do we have any yeah. new announcements? I don't think any new announcements at this point. I may have in a month or so. Okay. Like I said, there are a number of active RFPs, but I think anything that's probably already been announced.
So when you see a larger entity come into Kenosha, and it's going to be, say, something that's going to be service, could be manufacturing, and they have to put up so many square feet, generally, do they select local contractors, or they bring in contractors from the outside to build that facility? Is there a rhyme or reason to it?
I'd say it absolutely on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
Depends if it's a specialty purpose building. Right. There's a ton of spec buildings out there. There's several million square feet of spec building being built. It's kind of, quite frankly, at a record pace right now. So it absolutely depends.
So the follow-up question that would be, just from your perspective and what you see with your finger on the pulse of Kenosha County, so to speak, do we have at this point the capacity that if an entity wanted to come in, that we would have our local contractors' workforce available? Are they spoken for? What's the labor market, construction market that you see from your perspective currently?
I think that we are well positioned. We have plenty of vacant buildings for companies that are relocating to either move into, or we have a lot of vacant land sites that are shovel ready and ready to go if they wanted to build a brand new space. So my short answer is yes. I think we are very well positioned to take advantage if a company wanted to relocate here.
That's my question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, anything else? Yes.
How's our utility grid able to handle all of this expansion?
Yeah, that's a great question. We work very closely with We Energies, work very closely with the Kenosha Water and Wastewater Utility. We haven't had any, there is excess capacity there. We haven't experienced any issues where we've said, hey, we've got this user, and they've said, oh no, we can't do it.
Okay. So. Right.
Thanks for all the information. Just a question, are there any industrial parks that are not in a TIF in Kenosha County? And my question, my follow-up question to that would be, since it looks like you're turning a gear in your brain, do companies that are going into a non-TIF district get any kind of priority? The reason I'm asking is because we get no benefit, no county, city, you know, within there gets a benefit when someone moves into a TIF from a tax standpoint. You know, if they go into a non-TIF building area, then we'll get the property tax benefit. If it goes into a TIF, it might be 40 years in some cases if it's in the city of Kenosha.
So I'm just gonna ask if I can follow. I want to get you accurate information, yeah. So I'm going to ask if I can follow up with
on
those questions.
Great. I think it's important for us to know where people are building, because obviously there's competition within Kenosha County from each municipality that's invested in a TIF. That municipality might be able to give them something more, but an area that's not a TIF might be at a slight disadvantage. From our perspective, they should have maybe a little bit of an advantage when it comes to, you know, borrowing a couple $100,000 or something like that. Just a thought.
Sure. Dave?
Through the chair to Brock, just a little discussion on that. I mean, we know that we've had industrial parks worth billions of dollars go out of TIFs and go back on the tax rolls, both in the city and Prairie. I can't remember if it's happened in other municipalities, you know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we, when you mentioned vacancies, we have some, that's where a lot of our vacancies are, in those industrial parks that have moved out of TIF back onto the regular tax rolls. And we just had a major one come out where we're getting a $2.5 million, and we saw that on our report, a little over $2.5 million of revenue, the one-time payment we get when you close out a TIF that happens sometimes.
Pleasant Prairie.
So we've had billions of dollars worth of TIF close and come back on the tax rolls. And so that has happened. And I don't know how much buildable space there are in the ones that close. Probably a lot, not a lot of anything. Most of it's probably in TID, but there's still a lot of vacancies in those areas.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's ideal.
All right. Anyone else? Yes,
Brian. Just a minor. Uptown Lofts, I see, came in at 5% interest. Where are we sitting right now? They're an outlier. Everybody else is 2.25% or less, and Uptown Lofts is pretty high interest rate comparatively.
Yeah, it was so different. The Uptown Lofts that you're seeing there were for pre-construction costs, and they were short-term loans, almost more of like a working capital type style loan. That's why outliers. There are certain parameters that we need to within the loan contracts that we need to abide by. So
higher risk, higher cost.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, going back to our agenda, the next item would be the county resolution on the rental of, no, I'm sorry, the county executive proposal to appoint Nancy Kemp to the library system.
Good evening, Chairman Rose and committee members. I'm Ashley Letterman with the Human Resources Office here at Kenosha County.
Before you this evening is a request from the County Executive's Office to reappoint Ms. Nancy Kemp to serve on the Kenosha County Library System Board. This reappointment shall be effective immediately and continue through the end of the year 2025. Ms. Kemp would be succeeding herself. Since her last appointment, Ms. Kemp has maintained an exemplary attendance record.
All right, discussion?
Is she not?
She is not here.
Can we table this to the next meeting when she could attend?
I believe...
She asked me if we could act on it without her presence. I said yes.
There's some questions
if you would
like to
have her, because you've got something in mind, we certainly can do that.
There's some questions I would like to ask her.
Oh, you did? Okay. Had I known that, I would have... Add her here. Generally, reappointments are.
I can.
That's fine.
So, are you making a motion to table until the next meeting?
Okay. Yes.
I'll
Is
second
there a
that.
Second? All right.
Second.
Okay.
Oh, thought I did.
You did.
All right. All those in favor to table?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
See you next time.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to Sheriff's Resolution. Approval of Law Enforcement Support Office Program Participating Law Enforcement Agency. That's a big...
That's a lot. Yeah, it's a big... It's a 1033 program. How about that? Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. So this is a resolution to...
Five tanks.
Allow us to continue our participation in the... What is known to the layperson as the 1033 program, the military surplus. The Presidential Executive Order 14074 that was signed in May of 2022 requires law enforcement agencies that participate in the 1033 program to now have annual permission from the county government, so county board in this case. As I spoke at Judiciary and Law, the current things that we have in the 1033 program that are on the books are some rifles that we use for honor guard, and there's actually a surplus of about 26, if I recall correctly, that we will be giving back to the federal government. They're just, I don't know if you guys have seen the honor guard rifles, they're old military M1 rifles. The only other two pieces of equipment that we currently have on the books for 1033 is our EOD, our bomb robot, and our MRAP, which is the tactical response vehicle. So what I'm requesting or seeking permission is to just continue in the 1033 program. As you'll see, some of the nuances or requirements of the program is that if we were to acquire any other new piece of equipment, which it's not a purchase because the equipment is all free. We have to post this to the public, whether it's Facebook, any social media, newspaper, whatnot, for 30 days prior to acquiring that piece of equipment.
All right, discussion?
Dave? I would move approval.
Second.
A discussion, Dave?
Through the chair to Captain Miller. Is this the same resolution that went to Judiciary and was presented by Sergeant Pitsley?
I'll take ownership of that. I sent Sergeant Pitsley as a
sacrificial.
Yeah. He was supposed to come as an informational to let you know that this was something that we were going to seek a resolution on. So it was an informational presentation. I talked about this at Judiciary and Law, where he felt like he really didn't do so well. Speaking to the members of the committee, he did fine. However, it was just for an informational. I wanted just to give the committee a heads up that this was coming down, because there's a lot to it. If you see the attachment, there's a lot of pages of information. So, and we need the approval for the year. So I wanted him to go at kind of in advance, as if you sacrificial lamb, just to give the information, because there's a lot of documentation that went along with it. The Cliff Notes version is very simple, obviously, but so that's why he went a month ahead of time before the resolution was drafted.
Okay.
Through the chair to the captain, you're exceptionally honest. Thank you so much for that. And also, I thought Sergeant Pitsley presented it very well, and we were able to understand it very well when we're when it's coming before us to approve it today. So I, but everything I thought was fine when I saw that. So.
I'll let him know. Thank you.
And I yield.
Anyone else? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
The next item is
Paul.
The
Paul, governance.
Well, I'm sorry, did I overlook you? I guess I should be the voice for it.
Oh, aye.
All right, go ahead. Thank you. So we'll move on to the next item, the lease of the county property to U.S. Representative Style. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Chairman Wells and members of the committee. I'm Attorney Jennifer Kapp with the Kenosha County Corporation Counsel's Office. I think I know most of you. We're here to discuss the resolution for the lease. I also do believe that the Chief of Staff for Ryan is here as well, in case there's any questions. The lease that's included in the packet is pretty straightforward. It's for property located at the Kenosha County Center to Congressman Style. It's a two-year lease. It's $350 per month. It can be terminated if needed. It's a very typical lease. I believe this is put up by the U.S. House of Representatives. It's been used by other municipalities, other members. The agreement says what the purpose of the agreement, the lease agreement, is for. It's to have open office hours for members of the constituents to come and ask questions if there are questions. It's not to be used for political purposes or anything like that. We don't see any legal problems or issues with this lease. It's really for the benefits of Kenosha, for the residents of Kenosha County to be able to have access and to have questions answered if they need services or anything like that. I think the agreement is pretty straightforward. Like I said, the terms are there. What we're doing, what our obligations are, really is just to provide a space. So we would ask that you approve it, and I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone may have.
All right, discussion? Anyone? Oh, Dave.
Mr. Chairman, I would move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Right. Further discussion? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, when I was a trustee at the Village of Summers, Representative Style had an office at the Village, and it went very well. I really appreciated, as a resident in Summers, having that available and access there. So I'm happy that the county can also provide that direct access to this very important service that's being offered.
Anyone else? Bill?
Just some background questions. When did this originate? How long ago did this whole proposition come forward?
I don't have the specifics on that. My understanding was a few weeks ago, I think, is when we were.
So we're saying
a couple, maybe a couple of months ago it was.
So last year?
Yes.
Okay. And who is the motive force behind this? Does this come from Mr. Style's office or from another entity? Who's the motive force?
I don't have the answer to that question, so I don't want to.
I can answer that.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Why don't you just step up and identify yourself?
Sure, if I can join at the table.
Sure,
yes.
Go ahead.
My name is Rich Zipper. I'm Congressman Stiles, Wisconsin Chief of Staff, based here in Wisconsin. This comes from Congressman Stiles' office. We have found in other places, I think the reference to Summers is appropriate, that we're able to serve the constituents, our mutual constituents, well by being kind of co-located with other government offices. We do it in Racine County. We have a constituent services center in Janesville, and then we've been located in Summers. It's our understanding that Summers is going through a number of changes, and I think their preference would be, because of their space needs, that we perhaps find a different location at this point. We reached out to the county executive's office, and she kind of brought this forward, I think would be appropriate to say. So we initiated it.
All right, thank you, Ian.
I think this is a great idea, having more public, being the representative more available to the public. But I'm not sure what his schedule is like, but working in Washington, how often would Congressman Style be here to be open to the public?
I can say my understanding, then you can, you know, check in or weigh in if need be. My understanding is they're going to have some office hours where members of his staff will be available to answer questions and collect information and relay, you know, questions that there may be.
will also be by appointment. I don't know if Congressman Stiles himself will be here, how often, so I will let you speak to that.
Yeah, he'll be there by appointment. We will have regular office hours where a member of our staff, many of you may know her, Teresa Mora, she will regularly staff the office. She focuses, well, our focus is generally on, you know, Social Security, Medicare, people that are having problems dealing with federal issues. A lot focuses on veterans benefits. So these are people seeking, you know, help on individual issues. We like to have a kind of closed private office because sometimes those are very personal private matters, and we try to assist them in that way. It's also a place where if someone, an individual constituent, wants to comment on something going on in Congress, whether it be legislation or something like that, they can reach out to the staff and the staff relays it to the congressman. We will utilize it as a place where individual constituents can meet with the congressman, and that'll be done on occasion, but not with like regular hours there. So we found by having several offices, if a constituent from Kenosha wants to meet with the congressman, it's better to have a place here locally that we can set up rather than ask somebody to drive to Janesville or, you know, to someplace further.
Great, thank you.
Brian.
Thank you, Chair. A couple comments and then statements, and I agree. It's good to be close to our people. So bring government to the local environment and have that opportunity for interaction. That I applaud. It's a very small office location, so I won't be visiting. Too cramped for me. Did I read correctly when I looked at the lease agreement? It initiates from the House of Representatives. In other words, it's a federal document. Yes. That is uniform and applied elsewhere.
Yeah, that is my understanding. I think it could be used for other Congress, you know, meant as needed if there was desire and availability as well.
Okay, so thus it's not a political party based
correct
ask or initiative. It's a federal government initiative to try to get to the local populace.
That's my understanding.
Okay, thank you. We had a letter from a local constituent who had that as a concern, and then you've also answered, I think, her other concerns, which were it's not a political office, this is a government office. It's there for him to utilize in that, or his group to utilize in that capacity. And it is open for others if others chose to ask for space within our facilities. That is possible as well.
Right. We would explore the same avenues that we're doing right now, which is another lease with another individual and additional, you know, terms as well, if there was an interest there. We don't anticipate there will be campaign activities or anything like that taking place. This is really a space to meet with constituents, get information, answer questions, things of that nature.
Okay. You said anticipate. I would go further. This is a government facility.
Yes,
so
that's our expectation.
Yeah, and if I could chime in there, it would be a violation of federal law to engage in political activity using federal resources. Mm-hmm. Our staff is all made aware of that. We are very diligent about that. That's not allowed in any of our official office locations and certainly would not be permitted there.
Correct. Thank
you. And I would just add that there is a termination provision, and if we were to determine that anything inappropriate is going on, which we don't anticipate or expect, there is an ability to easily terminate the agreement.
Yeah, I read through the agreement and it's pretty straightforward, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, Bill.
So here's a thing for your consideration. If it were just to be access for constituents, theoretically you could do this office as an access for any constituent, any party, any representative. Why couldn't it be just a room where any particular person from the state government, in this case, could occupy it just on a request basis? Why would it have to be exclusive to one particular entity? Has that been talked about or looked into?
Well, I would say from a legal standpoint, you always want to have some type of an agreement so the expectation of use is clear. We don't usually let people come in and use our county facilities for any reason because then we have no control over it. So when you have a lease, you're able to put forth the terms of the agreement. What is the expectation? What is the cost? What is the use? It gives us as the lessor some control over it. We also can set the office hours. We can say whether or not somebody can use it. You know, if we need it for some reason, although, you know, we could work and we have some control. So I think it would always be our preference to have some type of written document that we can enforce, that we can control. And I think that's what this accomplishes here.
Well, my comment is this. although it may pass the letter of the law and it may not have any impingement upon being illegal, certainly in this polarized time in which we live, where we've seen partisan politics at the national level, state level, now to a certain extent, if you believe it or not, at the local level, although it may be legal, it doesn't pass the sniff test. It doesn't pass the sniff test for me. Because then you're down the slippery road of, well, the next person wants to come along, it's the Democratic Party, it's the Green Party, then we're obliged to leave space for them to give them equal time, equal opportunity. So you can say this is all with good intent. You can say it's just for your constituents to meet. But once you involve someone who is a sitting personage by an elected party, you've introduced politics to your community, I should say to your county center. I don't think the benefits of doing that outweigh the downside. And I will tell you, I've had numerous comments from constituents, some of them not even actually my constituents in my district, but just from across the city, from across the county, saying, what are you thinking about? Why would you do this? Is this really going to be beneficial to us as a county, or will it further polarize us? I'm in the camp that I think it's going to further polarize us. I would not support it. That's my comment. Thank you.
Yeah.
Through the chair, to Mr. Zipper, and I know the answer to this question. You have two completely separate staffs for your for Congressman Stiles' political campaign and his official office, correct?
That's correct.
And these staffs do not overlap at all.
Well, there are sometimes individuals that will serve in two duties,
but
they will not at this location. It is only official staff.
Correct.
And they will maintain official duties only. If an individual is on, you know, the staff that will be there is constituent services oriented. The work that is done is serving, you know, providing, helping veterans find their benefits. It's very convenient for us to have, you know, be in a county building where people are also coming to look for help for health care or veterans benefits. And individual constituents often don't know if the issue that they're seeking help on is a federal issue, is a state issue, is a local issue. And it's often frustrating for us when we're trying to help individuals just solve their problems to have to say, no, you have to contact the county, or no, you have to contact the state, and they feel like they're lost in a bureaucratic maze. We really feel like this office can cut through the bureaucratic maze, help constituents get answers, and I think you'll find quickly that that's what this does. Teresa, who's going to be staffing this office, currently staffs a very similar office in the county building in Racine. I would encourage any of you to reach out to your colleagues in Racine County and the experience there. I think we've had an outstanding experience, and I think Racine County officials would share the same.
And there's no political campaigning activity going on in the county office.
Absolutely not.
Because it's against the law.
This is an official office. The board is all elected officials. You understand the difference between campaigning and what you do in this building. That is exactly the same.
Right. The person that emailed me is a political person, and she knows the difference. I believe she emailed the county board to rabble rouse, especially when she included the Kenosha News on her email. I've been on this board since 2010. In 2011, we had county employees working, using county resources against Act 10 and things going on in Madison during county paid time. I gave information that I had done public records requests to the chair of the finance committee, and absolutely nothing got done at that point. At another time, I came into a county board meeting that I had not been at a county board meeting the previous meeting, and I come in and there is a campaign flyer for a fundraiser for a Democratic politician running in Kenosha. Amazingly, no one knew how it got there, and nothing got done about that. So politics has been partisan on this board for years, but no one said anything until we actually offer an office to a Republican. We should have done this years ago, because this is great for Kenosha County. This is great for Kenosha County residents. But because of partisan politics and because we had a Republican for Congress, the previous county executive refused. I know that because I talked to the current county executive. If both of our, either of our U.S. senators, one is a Democrat, one is a Republican, came and requested to rent an office here, neither of them would be turned down because this is not a partisan issue. This has to do with helping our constituents and making it easier for our constituents to get the services they need, like Mr. Zipperer said. And I'm excited to have Congressman Stiles' office here, and I would be really excited to have either of our U.S. senators here because that makes it easier for us as county board supervisors to get help for our constituents and our issues on the county level towards Washington, D.C. So I'm very excited this is happening. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Zipper.
What county building is Racine?
It's in the courthouse.
Oh, it's in the courthouse.
Yep.
Oh, yes, I have seen that. Yeah, now that you,
it's on the first floor.
Yeah, on the first floor right there by the one of the courtrooms.
Correct.
Yeah. David.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually approved this on another board, so I went through it. And so I actually have experience with it. And I saw it not as being a divisive issue. I saw it as being an issue that helped bring the community together more. And also, it went very well for when I was at the village. It was great to have the resource there immediately, boots on the ground right there if you had if you needed help with something. And again, there weren't any issues that came up when I was on the board for 6 years. So I was happy to approve it. I approved it in a previous job, and I see it again as bringing the community together versus being divisive. And I see the executive had her hand up. So.
Okay. Smith.
May I just say, again, Congressman Stiles' office reached out to me a few months ago when they were looking, the space at Village of Summers was not going to be available to them, and asked me for this opportunity. I searched, we actually did some of my own searching throughout the county looking for spaces, and lo and behold, there are three offices across the way, hallway from my office at the Kenosha County Center that are not utilized right now. So that's why I think it's a great opportunity for constituents to have access in Western Kenosha County, in addition to the fact that they don't have a Western, or they don't have a office in Elkhorn or in Walworth County. So again, constituents from Walworth County might access this site, because if you live in Genoa City, Pell Lake, or Lake Geneva, it's easier for you to come down Highway 50 to the Kenosha County Center. If you live in Burlington and don't want to travel into Racine to the courthouse, it is easy for you to get to Highway 45, head south down to the county building, and again, great access. And again, I have worked as a former legislator, and have utilized both Congressman Stiles' office, Congressman Ryan's office, and before that, Congressman Newman's office, dating back here, again, where constituents don't know the difference between federal, state, and local issues, and it is just a valuable service to our constituents. And so I really hope that people who might have concerns look at what other counties have done, and again, take this opportunity to serve our constituents in this beneficial way.
And I was going to just add, it's a current elected officer seeking to meet with Kenosha County residents about concerns, about programs, about questions. If you have a question about Social Security benefits, you're going to go to the Social Security office. It's not, I know that there's a concern about it being partisan, but really, access is for anyone. They don't have to like everything that Congressman Stiles does. Perhaps that's why they make an appointment to meet and to talk with him and to do that. So, like I said, from our standpoint, it's different than, you know, allowing any type of partisan activity or campaigning or anything like this. It's just providing access to residents where they can get questions answered about services or programs or anything like that.
I would definitely say to Senator Baldwin and to Senator Johnson, again, there are two other offices right next door, so if you're not familiar where these offices are located, it is in the public health area. I have an office at the end of the hallway, and there are three other offices that are available. So again, I'm going to throw that out there so that other people might, you know, want to take this opportunity. We do have space available.
All right, anything else, Brian?
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Zach, as well. When this first came up, I saw it on the agenda and I had questions. In fact, my first response was, no, you can't do that. But I think back to my childhood. I'm from Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And our federal representatives were in our city buildings. That was normal then. Now suddenly everything is so polarized, nothing is normal. But once a representative is elected, they go to DC, they're seated, they represent all of us. So the whole of government approach, I like the idea. If I go to KCC for maps, lands, whatever, roads, I can find all my government there. I like that idea as a citizen. I like that accessibility. So I see merit to it. I also see the angst to it. I understand that. I started there when I first saw it on the agenda, so it was, wait a minute, I'm not sure about that. So the way the rental agreement is written is very clear what can be done. The law protects what can be done in our facilities as well. We have the out clauses. I think it's a benefit to the county. I believe for me as a citizen, as a resident, especially in Western Kenosha County, I derive benefit from it. So for that reason, I'm for it.
Tim?
I'm for it because I'd like to see all of our representatives more available to us. And I don't care what party they're from.
All right, further discussion. Bill?
I'd just like to make the comment that my earlier comments have nothing to do with Representative Style in particular. It's more just the idea of possible politicization of a public building. These representatives of us, they have budgets. They don't necessarily have to go to a public building to conduct their business. They can rent space anywhere. And I suppose that if it's said that the door is open to others who wanted to have similar space leased to them, if it was a level playing field right off the ground where we had a proposition where they all were doing it and we had equal representation of those who participate, I would do it. But this sounds like it's just made for this one particular person. If others come later, so be it. And it just sounds like an incomplete word to me. No, I don't support it and I won't. Thank you.
All right, any other discussion? All right, why don't we take a vote? I'm gonna call for a voice vote.
Roll.
All right.
You
think
government's first.
Oh, okay. I was going to just call him in line, but whatever you prefer.
Aye.
All right, Dave.
Aye.
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 Tim. Nay.
Aye. All right, it passes. If you want to circulate that. All right, we'll move on to the next item. This is a report on the alternative to Social Security for certain part-time people. And you're going to present that,
we're just going to hook up our technology here. Because we do have a representative from Precision Retirement Group. Bruce Nelson is sitting comfortably in his living room in Iowa. And he is graciously going to make, if we have any questions. I have a presentation here. I'm just going to pass it out. And Mary will be showing it up on the thing. I got 15 of them. So I think there's enough for most people to have one.
You already had yours?
If not, I'll make some more. Hey, Bruce, can you hear us?
We can't hear you.
I just turned off my
March 20. Does everybody have one?
I'm not a cat.
Okay, can you hear us now? Okay. Could you hear us before?
I have a couple extra if anybody.
We can't hear him though.
Mary, is your microphone and stuff on for this?
Oh, sorry.
Just give us, you have to get the right speakers and microphones on. If not, I'll call them on the phone. But it
says my volume is all the way up.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
So, Bruce, say something.
There was a that speaker there.
Yeah, he's there, but you got to get to a speaker control. What software are you running?
This is making me feel better. But this is
you're not the only one that has this.
We'll figure it out.
This thing is intentional.
I think she. I think maybe I just have to shut mine off, and she has to turn her speakers on.
Can you, while we're doing that, can you tell us a little bit about person and organization?
Hey, Bruce, you want to tell us a little bit about Precision Retirement Group?
See, right now, Teams has a prompt on it, so or something.
Can everybody hear me?
No.
No.
It's coming.
Look into Teams.
It needs to get turned on.
Okay, start talking.
Okay, can you hear me?
A little bit.
It's very faint.
It's there now.
How's that? You're competing off of two.
So maybe
you're
going to turn yours down.
I will, but yours has to be all the way up.
One needs to be.
It is.
Sorry.
Okay, talk now, Bruce. We almost got this figured out.
Okay.
Well,
can you hear me?
That's as loud as it can go, I guess.
Oh, I remember.
Hello?
You don't remember?
Yeah,
I guess that's as loud as it goes.
Before this come in?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have a good outside speaker, but there should be a speaker on the wall, too, right?
Oh, I
see. Can you turn the volume up on the television? It may be trying to run through that.
It wasn't memorable.
For you, for sure. Yeah. For most, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you, but it's we're not on a good overhead speaker.
Just put them on.
Okay, I got you on my phone. Talk.
Yeah, Jim.
Phone,
talk. Yeah, can you hear me?
Got to mute other stuff.
Now that's
we're just muting, and I got you on my speaker.
We're just muting, and I got you on my speaker phone.
Okay.
Turn that off.
Okay.
Patty has it.
Patty
has it.
It's
you. There you go.
Okay. Patty, thank you, right. Patty.
Which one are we?
You're in control.
You're in control, Patty.
Okay.
Okay.
There we go.
Yes.
Okay, Bruce. Can you tell us a little bit about...
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Oh, great. Okay, thank you. All right. Precision Retirement Group has been around since 2000. We do these plans nationally. We're a Wisconsin-based company. We're based out of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Have been there since inception. These plans are really specific to each individual entity throughout the state of Wisconsin. So not everybody can implement this plan. It's all based on the Social Security agreement. My partner and I have extensive history in these plans and implementing these plans, not just throughout the state of Wisconsin, but nationally as well. It's a real... interesting process that came about in 1990 under the Omnibus Reconciliation Act, and where they mandatorily required Social Security to all of those governmental entities who were not in Social Security. And a case in point was the city of Green Bay. They've been a client of ours for well over 15 years. And in that particular situation, we saved them probably well over $100,000 a year in the plan up there. And they were in a situation where they came under the mandatory Social Security option. And they either had a choice of either putting in Social Security or an alternative plan. And they put in Social Security. This also made them eligible to implement at some point in time down the road a FICA alternative plan that we're, Jim will present here with regards to that. Currently, we have about 30,000 participants in our plans. And we have here in Wisconsin, your city is a client of ours. The school district is a client of ours. Like I said, city of Green Bay, we have various jurisdictions throughout the state that are in the plan and have been in the plan for numerous years. And I think I first presented this to Jim, I think it was probably, what, 5 or 6 years ago. And but you still are eligible for the plan, and it's a great alternative for those individuals that are part-time, seasonal, and temporary.
Okay, Bruce, can you see the presentation that we're going to run through? Just stop me if I say something that's goofy, but
it was
way back, it was more than 5 years ago. We ran this through, and I'm just going to start on page 2 of what I handed out. These plans, they provide an alternative to those who are currently making contributions to Social Security that will really not, they won't derive any benefit from it. The plans are approved by the Social Security Administration and the IRS. The county must have an appropriate agreement with the Social Security Administration to do this. We have this agreement. It's been in existence for many years. Eligible employees, they cannot be participants in the county retirement plan. In general, eligible employees, it includes most part-time, seasonal, temporary workers, golf park seasonals, bailiffs, drivers, some of our nurses, and eligibility for the WRS is monitored closely. And they've been around for many, many years. So that's just a few things about the plan. The next slide tells you a little bit how it works. Okay, the employee does not contribute anything to the 6.2% to Social Security anymore. They continue to contribute 1.3% to medical or to Medicare portion. And because the employee doesn't contribute to 6.2% to Social Security, the company, the county, the governmental entity does not contribute their 6.2%. So we'll run through a few numbers here. Now, the employee, their take-home pay is going to be about the same. Instead of contributing 6.2% to Social Security, they contribute to a tax-deferred, it's like an annuity that it pays out a percentage to that employee, 1-3%. It's not a big amount, it's a small amount, and it's managed by Precision Retirement Group. So, something happened up here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are you just testing me here?
No.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, we're all paying attention. This is really nice of Bruce to do this for us, and it saves him a lot of time. Now, if this takes the next step, he would come here to do it if anything needed to be done at a higher level. But the employee, their take-home pay is about the same. County does not contribute any money to Social Security, like I said. We can get to it. So that will save $140,000 a year, give or take. When we did this a number of years ago, it was less than that. There were less people that were able to participate. The pay was smaller. So this has grown quite a bit from the last time we did this. I don't know if there's anybody here who was on that committee years ago. I know Dave was around, and back then it was pretty much his idea, and I know he spearheaded bringing this thing back, which we appreciate. So the employee contributions, they're invested in this fixed annuity, a consistent, fair rate of return. I'm not going to tell you it's huge, but it is something. Right now, if you're contributing, if you're a bailiff and you're contributing money to Social Security, when your Social Security is calculated, they take your highest 35 years of pay. So if you're a kid working at the golf course or something like that and making a couple thousand dollars a year, or if you're retired and you're already getting Social Security, you're not deriving any benefit from that because you're not making a lot of money. So it happens a lot with the highs and lows. One of the grids we have here, we'll show you kind of what the age are of our employees who would fall into these various buckets.
Jim, can we ask questions as you go?
Yeah, I can't say no. But go ahead.
You can say whatever you want if you'd like to hold until the end.
Ask your question.
On the previous slide, the last bullet was that basically we're creating an account that they can take and put into a different retirement plan later on.
Yes, you can roll it over into something else. Say you quit, and you want to roll it over to some other deferred plan, you can do that.
Okay, and if they were to matriculate from a temporary employee into a full-time county employee, they could roll into our retirement program, or?
That I don't know, but I doubt it, because then if you're a pension WRS participant, you can't be in this. So whatever you have in the other plan would just stay. A good example of that is...
Couldn't be closed out and moved over like in traditional IRA, but they could put it in a personal IRA.
Yeah. We have Karen Terry, who's in our HR department. She has one of these accounts that she had when she was an employee of the city. I don't know what she did. I can't remember. But she actually has one of these accounts. Every year she gets a statement that... So she's one of those people who, but now she's obviously in WRS, so she can't contribute anything else. So
there's really,
I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, but as an employee that's participating, there's really not a good way to lose.
Right. That's what we think, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what slide are we on, Mary?
Employee
contributions to the plan, all right. And it says there you can roll over your funds to another retirement plan if desired. Okay, the next slide, benefits to eligible employees and who wins. Social Security benefit, I said, was based on your 35 highest years of pay. For most of the eligible employees, this pay it's not subject to FICA withholding. It would not be a part of this 35-year calculation. Retired employees receiving Social Security, if they're working at one of these eligible jobs, and their pay is low enough, they will not be part of the 35-year calculation. They're contributing to Social Security for no reason because they won't derive any benefit from it. For young people, students, there's a good chance that the small pay will not be a part of their 35-year calculation, so they are better off contributing to this FICA alternative plan. Okay. It's not huge money, but it just sits there and it grows little by little.
Would county board supervisors be able to participate? If they want.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And just to clarify, as long as they're not participating in WRS.
If they were in WRS, can they get out of it?
Make an alternate election.
Like for example, myself.
Yeah. If no. WRS is based on certain rules. You either qualify or you don't qualify. So and in the case of county board supervisors now, because of the higher hours requirement, some might, if they had prior service, they would be at that lower $600. But most county board supervisors coming on are not eligible for WRS. So the newer ones would not, but if they already were in WRS, they would qualify in WRS.
Right, okay. Thank you.
Jim has a chart that says 14 of us would be able to. Sorry, Jim.
Okay. Whatever you want to know, just go right ahead. No big deal. Okay, so the next slide, we just made a list of other considerations. We've worked with Bruce's group in the past. They did this presentation, have been advising us, and he calls every year to find out if they're, if we're still interested, and so it's coming up again this year. We will have one of the things is we have to decide if you don't have to opt into this plan. If you're eligible, you're not in WRS, you could say, I don't want this plan, I want to keep contributing to Social Security. Now, there's 388 people that are on this list. Okay? I would strongly recommend, if we're going to do this, it's all or nothing. If somebody comes in and they're part of this group and they're not in WRS, they sign a form, because we will have to set up a plan with PRG and people have to sign up for that. That's the way the city does it. If you're certain kinds of park workers or the people who do flagging and things like that, they just hand you this form and you sign up. If you're part of this eligible group and not in WRS, they are not going to take Social Security from you. You are going to go into this plan. And it's kind of an all or nothing thing. So that's, I think, what that, so we'd have to decide whether you want it to be all or nothing.
Excuse me, Jim, are you saying all departments or all transient employees or?
All employees who are not part of WRS.
Are not currently part or would not qualify?
If you are in WRS, you don't qualify. If you're not, you qualify.
So all new employees.
Yeah. And there's a set of rules that determine whether you're in WRS or not.
Right. New employees who are full-time, the expectation is they are full-time, they will work for 1,200 hours, they're enrolled upon hire. Because the expectation is that they will qualify, and that's the governing criteria for WRS.
Yeah, which goes to my question then. So it would be more transient or lower hour employees who would be, trying to think of a good word, but I'll say subjugated to this program versus our current county program.
So there's been comments over the years that these type of plans would bring Social Security to its knees. That's not really true. It's all figured into the payout scheme. But it's a valid concern. But at the time, last time we did it, there were people who were concerned about that. City of Kenosha does it. KUSD does it. Bruce, I think, gave you some other examples of people within the municipalities within the state. So before we go to the next step, if you want to I don't know if you go to page 4, Mary. It's one of the first tables, I think, Dave was talking about. Yeah, and there you go, that one there. This is kind of a summary of, by department, 387 people who would qualify. Now, some of them have come and gone, we hired, they left, whatever. But there are some county board people on this list. And these numbers are from 21, so we don't have 22 final. Well, if we ran them today, we'd probably have it, but we didn't when I ran this a month or two ago. And it shows you at the various locations where employees would. And then over on the right-hand side there is demographic of ages, wages, and Social Security. And then there's a summary there of everything that I think I just told you. If you flip to the next page, this is really the excruciating detail by department and by how old people are. There's a couple little hints here. I highlighted some stuff in yellow. Those are the ones that from the page before fall into the other category. So you can see there's all kinds of miscellaneous jobs that fall into that other category. And then I highlighted three in orange, which is the public works people. You can see there's a lot of golf and parks seasonal people that come and go that would be in this program. So the next, just tell me if I'm going too fast. Page 6, it's kind of the same information, except it shows the wages by age for the folks that we showed on the previous page by the number of people. And there's the wages is about $2.3 million. And you can see a lot of it falls into the lower 20, below 25 and over 62. And then page 7 is more detail, where we sliced and diced it by the Social Security expense. So this is the number, $144,675, that could potentially be saved if and when we did this, if the 22 or 23 or 24 numbers look like 21 did. And then for your edification, we included in the back kind of just some detail about how Social Security benefits are actually calculated. There's many, many articles in the internet on how this thing is actually done. So, yes, sir.
Right. Administration costs. What is the weighting on it?
Hey, Bruce, how much does Precision Retirement Group charge for your services?
Zero.
Who pays?
Nothing.
Now, how do you make money off of this?
The money is put into a group fixed annuity, and we share in the return on the investment of that annuity. Currently, we're paying 2.5% with a 1% guarantee. In this plan, because of the rules that are stated under the IRS statute, the individual can never receive back any less than what they put in, plus a reasonable rate of return. So there are no equity investments in this, because if there were, then there's a possibility that the individual could come home with less money, and we believe that's that would be a violation of the plan. So we have always used a group fixed annuity. The pricing on those are really, really simple. If we're offering 2.5, and you're looking at 10-year treasuries hypothetically at 3.4, the administration, record keeping, and compensation is taken out of that, and that's where we come up with the 2.5%.
Any other comments, discussion?
I've never had money in an investment vehicle where I couldn't lose, other than FTX.
Then you are one of, maybe in the only group, that I can't speak for myself. I want you to, I'll turn myself over to you and Mr. Geertsen.
Were you finished, or?
I am. I'm trying to figure out how a fund can guarantee that you won't have any potential loss below your initial principal. That's what I'm trying to get my arms around.
All right. Well, Dave.
Mr. Chairman, I remember during budget discussion we brought this up, and I'm so grateful you followed up on it. Thank you. I know it's a lot of work to do this stuff. And I remember we talked about saving $100,000, and Supervisor Thomas gave me a way of thinking about that, which is, you know, it doesn't balance the whole budget, but the average levy is about $1,000. So this is 100 homes worth of savings. So we really should look at doing things like this that are don't hurt anything, help, but reduce property tax levy. So I would like to make a motion to request that the administration bring a resolution to the county board to implement this plan, and do it using best practices and your best recommendations. For example, the all or nothing and other pieces that you think are the best way to implement. So I'd like to make
second.
That.
And you want that at the next meeting, or?
Whenever it's feasible or practical.
I wish we would have done this a little bit earlier. Maybe my fault. Whatever. Because now we're going to start to hire people in all these seasonal jobs. And so if the sooner we do it, the more people we hire can be hired under this. Mm-hmm. Bruce, I'm not so sure, I just can't remember. If we say the county hires 150 seasonal employees in February and March and April, and we get this plan all finalized, get the contracts done, educate everybody to make sure they know what's going on. We do this in May. If we've signed people up under Social Security, can we unsign them up and convert them over to this plan? Or is it just the new people that are coming in that we would sign up and then going forward?
It would be all of those eligible participants under 1,200 hours WRS. So if you hired somebody in February and they are a part-time person, and they are not scheduled to, and like you said, with full-time, you're scheduled under WRS, you know that job will be full-time, you put them in WRS. In all of these, you could actually go back and put them all in the alternative plan because they do not qualify for the WRS.
Thanks.
Retroactively, we could incorporate them.
So would you be able to have that on the next agenda or the March agenda? What do you think?
Bruce, if we were, how long does it take to get this thing going? We would start educating people. I would hate to not do it without making people think it's their idea and that they approve it. So I've talked to some of the department heads, and over the years, other people have had this. So it'd be nice we'd go out over the next month, educate people, talk to Precision Group, have them set up this plan. That can all happen pretty fast, right? If given, how long does it take you? I think you told me it would just take a month or two for you to get things going.
Yeah, the plan documents for this plan are pretty boilerplate because they follow the federal guidelines. So your plan is not going to be any more different than the city of Green Bay or city of Kenosha or anybody else.
But as far as pathway, we need the resolution, get it approved, get it signed, then we can do the contracts and then up ramp everything, move everything into it.
So March?
Well, you could have a resolution for us in February, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, this resolution doesn't have to have all of the minor.
It's just authorizing you to move forward.
To participate.
I think we could do it rather quickly, like, given the right approvals.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can agenda that next time. All right. Is there anything else here?
We have a motion on the floor.
Anything else on his motion? There was a second from... Yes. All right. Anyone else? Seeing no other discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Thank you.
Bruce, thank you very much. We appreciate your help, and we'll get in contact with you to work out the details.
Sounds good. Look forward to it. Thank you. Appreciate you all listening to. Jim did a fabulous job. He did this presentation. I told him that if he ever decides that he's going to retire, that he might have a job doing this, but he did such a fabulous job. But anyway, thanks again. Look forward to seeing you all again soon.
All right, thank you, wherever you are.
Little thick.
All right. Okay, I'm going to just take a minute here to get in on semi-soapbox. Speaking of retirement, I will be retiring the middle of this year. And I've been planning this for a while. I'm 68, I'll be 69 in October. And my replacement is right here, Chris Walton. You guys have seen him at a lot of meetings. And Chris, we've been training him. He has a degree from Whitewater. And he probably, and I'm going to look at Patty and Barna, as far as in the finance world within the county, he probably knows more about our financial systems, the working of anything, of all of it. He's the expert. He's the person that all users go to. So he's on a lot of committees. He's been very successful. He's put in some new stuff. He knows how to run everything in public works, and we're working with him on stuff like this, doing these presentations. He's attended a lot of these meetings. So they've already converted me over to a consultant, and Chris is actually the CFO of Public Works as of the first of the year. So he's here.
Congratulations.
All
right. Congratulations on your soon retirement.
We're clapping for you and for Chris. Thank you very much, Jim.
Okay, I'm not going to move because I think the next thing is mine, too.
The next one's yours. Yeah.
Okay, who doesn't have one of these Kemper reports? Or I should say probably who does have
them.
You're not
beginning
with it.
Well, some people have them.
It didn't get...
I begged for one earlier today, so...
Yeah.
You begged.
Just take one down and pass it around.
Anybody
else want one back here? These I got a lot.
Okay.
If you want one of the other ones, I got those too. I do have some extra. Yeah, you want one? Okay. Terry. There you go. Anybody else? If it's going around, there should be a bunch of them.
I think we need a few more on this.
Oh, okay.
One, two.
There's a bunch more.
Making
it?
Yeah.
I got a...
And I want to thank you guys for approving that FICA thing. It'll be a real good thing.
Thanks, Jim.
And I thank Dave for reminding everybody. And I know that Karen Terry had talked about it too, because like I said, she was part of it. So it'll be a good thing. We can crank it up pretty quickly. I think at the last meeting, you guys asked for comparative information for Kemper.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So what I have here, it's not 10 years, 22 would be the 10th year, but this is 21, and these are all audited figures. I have a financial statement for 2022, but I just got it this week. We really haven't looked at it much, but these are all the audit figures. The first page is the profit and comparative profit and loss statement for Kemper going back from 2013 to 2021, and the second page is a balance sheet. Assets on the top, liabilities on the bottom. Hopefully everything balances. I looked at it about 1,000 times. So.
Jim, quick question. Does this include our site management? In other words, site improvements, any of that that the county takes care of outside of Kemper's books, but we invest in the site?
The capital money, like how much of buildings?
If we pour concrete, if we put in windows, if we put a AC
unit.
There's
no Kenosha County capital in this report.
Okay.
Only Kemper capital.
Is it possible to create a separate report that pulls our historic investments over the same time period? So
anything is possible.
Anything is possible if you just pay enough money. You're a consultant now.
He's not getting a raise. Don't give him
any ideas.
Hey, Patty, I ain't doing this for the money.
I'm just kidding.
To piggyback, I know several years ago, saw a sheet that had all the expenditures going back to origination.
Yes, we
can
do have that.
Can you add
sheet.
To that?
I did.
To current?
Last, not very long ago. So,
yeah,
do you want that for the next meeting?
Yes, please.
In fact, I thought I gave it here a month or two ago.
Yeah. That's the one I started.
Yeah. Yeah. So the answer is yes, we can do that.
Yeah, we discussed it, but we didn't actually see it. So,
and things have changed. In the past, if you look at the first page, the revenue and other support, there's an item underneath there called the Kenosha County in-kind contribution.
Yeah.
Starting in 2018, I think it was 18, we just gave Kemper X amount of money. Or before that, 2017, there's 150, 2016, it was different, the amount of money we gave them. We would pay for some capital, and then we would also pay for some operations. And then we signed a new agreement, I don't know, Barnard, 3-4 years ago,
yes,
where we give them $100,000, I think it's 100, 105 now, for to run their operations. So if you look in 2021, we gave them $100,134 for, we are like their utility expenses primarily is 90% of that. But if you go back to some of the early years where there was $150,000, we would give them $50,000 for their operations, cut them a check, and then give them $100,000 for capital. Now we just pay the utility bills. So it's different back then than it is right now. Plus, now if something comes up for capital, we also pay for some of that. So you would see that from Supervisor Basha on this report, but it kind of switches from 3-4 years ago for how we're doing it.
Yeah, but what I don't see is our entirety of investments. I see their operating profile, so what it looks like, their P&L, what they're doing. I see what we're investing in their operation, but I don't see the ancillary investment, which is everything that we provide for the building, maintenance, management.
We'll show you.
In here?
No.
These reports right here, these are Kemper numbers.
Exactly.
We
and
don't
that's
keep their
what I'm
books.
Looking at.
Okay. I pull these off their reports. We don't pay their people. We don't.
No, I understand
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, I want to make sure that that's
this
clear.
Is their P&L, but I want to know what our total investment is in that footprint.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Jim, did you have more to say on the report?
No, sir.
Okay. We made a motions during the budget hearings that tied conditions of funding to compliance with certain information and reports that Kemper would provide. And I know we don't have the physical audits, but you do have the physical audits, and they've been delivered to the county, and you pulled the information from those audits off and put them into the spreadsheet. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it appears as though they've complied with the conditions that we set, and therefore the payment for the utility would continue as is with no impact, unless I'm missing something in our motion. I'm going by memory on the motion, but maybe I could ask Barnard or Jim, do you agree with
that
my...
The motion was tied to 22.
I thought it was
2. Yeah, it was for continuance in 23.
Well, we wanted 10 years worth, too, though.
Right. That was
so,
a separate motion.
So all we need is the one audit, then, and then we're done, right?
Yeah.
that which obviously they won't have yet because it's just finished.
So,
but it appears like they're in pretty good shape from the motion that we made, and all we need now is that audit. So,
correct.
And that's all I have. All
right. Anything else? Any other discussion?
Terry.
Oh yes, Brian.
I just have one thing, and something I'll be bringing up in the public works as well, is that I think this should be the last year that we pay their utilities. It's not in the lease. It's in a MOU that was never approved by the county board, and that however we're going to go about processing that, I think we should just give them a fair warning. Last year, I mean, just looking at this, you know, it's 20% of their revenue is from the county, from the taxpayers of this county, and they're supposed to be able to stand alone according to the lease from 1970-something. I mean, in addition to that, I think we get $50,000 a year for general maintenance, and then I think $250,000 for windows and an assortment of that. But I think from an operating standpoint, they are going to have to start learning to live on their own. So I'll be bringing this up in public works. I think the finance should be in front of this as well. But I don't know how to move forward with that. But I guess right now I just started that process. So right. That's all I have to say.
Through the chair to Supervisor Thomas, will some of that be maybe captured through this assessment? The consultant that we're bringing in to evaluate how we better manage or leverage the asset of Kemper?
I mean, that's years down the road that lease expires.
That's the timeline.
Years.
The consultant is this year.
Yeah.
But no, but I'm saying before that we can do anything with that. But hopefully that we can better use that space and generate some income out of it. Maybe another deer garden, I don't know.
Sure.
A ropes course that goes into the lake on a zip line.
The splashdown slip to slide.
There you go.
Anything else?
No, sir.
All right.
I'm done.
All right. Is there anything else on item 11?
Should I make a motion to receive and file since this was tied to a budget requirement? I would make a motion to receive and file the report.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 I thought you had your hand up there.
Veterans.
Number 12 is going to be presented by
Ollie. Are you done in the hot seat?
Thank you,
Joe. Not for this evening.
Some of the stuff I've done in my life, this is lukewarm at best.
I mean, for future meetings.
Oh, no.
Are you throwing someone else?
Whatever it takes, you will see no drop-off in performance.
He's a consultant now. Just put your request in, he'll get it.
He'll get it done.
Get a proposal to you.
We just get it done. That's right.
Billable hours.
Chairman and member of the Finance Committee, and you guys know who I am, Aloysius Nelson. I'm the Director for Veterans Services in Kenosha County. It's an honor and privilege to be here tonight to present before you. This is the Governor Veterans Investment Initiative. It's a supplemental grant, a one-time grant that's given to counties and also tribes. So the 72 counties and 11 tribal nations. It's a different amount, though. They kind of divvied up. So the larger counties get about $19,178. We do have a couple of small counties like Florence and what's the other county there? I don't know if it's Pippin or they got $23,000 because they're smaller counties struggling, rightfully so. They need the help they can get. Kenosha County have $19,178. This money is going to be used toward improvements of services for veterans and their eligible dependents. Over the years that I've been doing this job since 2011, we have only received roughly $13,000 from the states every year. I used to tell people we get $1 for every county that's in every veterans in Kenosha County. But We saw increase about 2 years ago. We got 5%, went from 13,000 to 14,300, and this is additional money, one time, that is used for taking care of veterans. If some of you are up at late at night watching TV, you probably heard about the PAC Act. No. That's signed into law by President Biden on August 10th, and a lot of people are out there thinking that, hey, you know, I can sue the government for things that happened in Camp Lejeune for the contaminated water, and also filing claims. We're going to see an increase in claims processing in our office, so this funding will be used toward helping in that process, outreach, educational awareness, things of that sort. It's a memorandum of understanding that has to be signed by the county executive. The turnaround time on that is has to be back in the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs by January 16th. So we're running out of time. So this is presented to the board tonight for a decision, and I'm open for any questions that you might have.
All right, in discussion?
Chairman, I would move approval.
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It's easy.
Pretty easy. Thank you, sir. All right.
You're persuasive.
Got some time for bedtime.
Oh, wait. That's right.
Yes, Brian.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead. In the budget for this year, you had one person you needed to add.
Yeah,
Have you hired that person yet?
They got taken out the budget. So we will probably pursue that next year. Yeah, but we might be able to use some of this money to get a temp person that might be able to help us in our office. It could have came at a better time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ellie.
Are the audit of bills completed or where are they? All right, moving along then, are there any department reports?
There is a general fund report.
All right.
Yippee. Everyone should have that at their place. It would be the first one of the year leading up to April when we have our carryover and closeout resolution. This information takes into account a couple months here because we did not have one for December. So I always draw your attention to the box at the bottom. Shows the difference from the last time that I reported our projection to now. We're seeing an erosion of about $300,000-$400,000 from the last time I gave this report. The percentage is in the same ballpark. The figure at the very bottom regarding the TID that was closed that was mentioned before, that $2.558 million is now a firm number as we've received those funds. So I'll change that heading to not be a projection, that is the amount that we've received. So going through the detail, in the top part of the report, it shows the items that cause increases for the general fund. The projection for human services went down $100,000. That's still the two main reasons for the projected surplus there. Are the Children and Family Services Division placements, as well as the DAD's placements. Sales tax revenue is pretty flat from the last 2 months. We did get another record month out of those 2 months, so 7 out of the 10 months that we've received so far are all-time records for those months.
What do you anticipate going forward?
What we have now is if we project the last 2 months of the year based on what last year's receipts were, it almost exactly is the average of what we've received the first 10 months. So we'll have, my projection is that this surplus will either be at this level or greater.
Okay. So positive for the county.
Yeah, I have a hunch that it'll go up from this number. Other items at the top there that changed a little bit include the reserve for tax delinquencies. That estimate has increased from 95 to 200,000. We have a couple other small changes, and the miscellaneous kind of balanced out this month.
You're talking about this real estate tax? tax collection?
That's part of the Circuit Court County Clerk Register of Deeds revenue surplus line. That's the second one from the bottom there.
So are the tax, are the delinquencies going up, down?
Oh, the delinquencies.
Yeah.
Okay, so that, so what that is a reserve for the delinquencies. So with that number getting better, that means that our projection for what our delinquent is lower. That's what helps with that number.
So we're making positive effort.
Yes. On the bottom part, regarding factors that would cause decreases to the general fund, I increased the sheriff's department deficit regarding the revenue. As I've reported before, it has to do with the federal inmate housing. Looks like that will probably be in the 700,000 range, short of budget projection.
Why do you think that's going to be?
We did not get as many.
It was detainees, wasn't it?
Not the federal, but I'm drawing a blank on the
U.S. Marshal.
U.S. Marshals. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Dice.
U.S. Marshals. We did not receive as many as what was expected. I went back and looked today for the last 3 or 4 years, and that number seems to be slipping. So. And we did take that number down in this next year's budget, but unless this trend reverses, we're going to have to continue to ratchet that down. The health insurance deficit is improved a little bit. We did have a couple of weeks at the end of the year that ticked up a little bit, but overall, when you consider overall health insurance being a $22-23 million budget, we're within 3% of the total budget, so we're in good shape there. The treasurer tax delinquency, interest on taxes, and the general fund interest revenue deficit there increased a little bit. That's based on final year numbers. We'll be analyzing that more closely to make sure that for the final we'll have the exact numbers. And the only other one that's liability insurance deficit improved by 50, and public works surplus that we were projecting back in November is pretty much evaporated. Chris gave a very good and detailed report regarding that, and probably the easiest way to describe that is the with the mild winter that we had in November and December, a lot of those expenses that we would normally be able to pass off to the state and get reimbursement and revenue for did not materialize, so that'll affect our bottom line.
So we want snow in January, February, and March, and even April. Is that what you're saying?
April, March.
Just not May and June, please.
That seems counterintuitive that you think that it's salt and everything else, but it actually helps.
You make money on it.
Rather have the deficit.
Right. That concludes my comments.
All right. Anything else?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, through the chair to the budget director, so on a $300 million budget and a $70 million levy, you got this thing to $166,000.
So far.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
I just said, well done. Very good. My tip of a hat to you. That's all I have.
All right. Anyone else? And is there anything else to come up under the department reports? No. All right. We mentioned a couple of things we're going to add to the agenda next time. Is there any other items that you want added other than what normally would be coming up? All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You're adjourned. Thank you.